Hello, hello. Hi, Rami.
All right.
So, remind me, did I end up talking about choosing to adopt as an alternative and how to focus on having your own plus possibly adopt? Did I talk about that?
I think
We
we discussed this a little bit, yes.
yes, you discussed it a bit.
Do you want more clarification around that?
Well, I don't need that only because I don't want to adopt. But if anybody else wants to adopt,
Does anyone want to adopt here that's listening?
No.
I do, but
No?
my husband doesn't want.
Yeah,
Your
I
husband
would
doesn't
love
want
to,
to.
but I think it's not a one-sided decision. So at the moment, that's a no.
Yeah, at the moment it's, yeah, no.
Okay. Because let me just explain. We can use the same approach if you're thinking you want to do natural. And then, if it doesn't work after a certain amount of time, you'd then be open to doing assisted fertility. When I say assisted, it's more like, IVF or IUI, even.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you.
It's the same kind of approach where the question was, how do I focus on what I want, which is having it this method, but I'm also open to something else happening. Now, what we want to really bring things down to is the fact that see if why don't you start seeing yourselves as these elite athletes and you are training for an event that you plan to win. Now, if that event, and let's just call it like a marathon because it's just easy, if that's a marathon, then what you want to be focusing on is everything that you're eating and how you're priming your body and the coaches that you have that believe in you and get your mind in the right position and you're able to visualize exactly what you want. Are you going to be focusing on winning the marathon that's coming up? Or are you going to be focusing on, well, if it doesn't work, if I don't win in this marathon, then I'm going to train really hard and maybe change my support team and maybe change a couple of things around and then try my best for the following year's marathon. You don't
No.
do that, okay? You focus, this is what you're focusing on now. So you expect you to win now. Because otherwise, if you have another approach and go, even if it doesn't work, then I'm going to do this. You are already saying, I don't think it's going to work. So you never have plan B. We focus on success with plan A. That's the thing. So you never feel like, well, it's wishy-washy. Spirit can't work with wishy-washy. You've got to be definitive. This is what I'm doing, and this is what I expect to see results in because I am priming my mind, priming my body. I've got the right support team. I know what I need to do, and I am doing it. And the beauty and the ease of having a baby is that it doesn't have to be hard work. We just need to put your body in thrive mode. That's the fundamental thing. So if you have your body in thrive mode, and I can just reclarify what that is. Then you'll succeed. So a cell will thrive if it's in the ideal conditions, which is detoxifying efficiently, regenerating efficiently, getting the right nutrients, getting the right hydration. So this is very important that you guys have good digestion. We process a lot of our emotions in our digestive system. So it can be altering digestion. If we're stressed, we don't have enough hydrochloric acids, and maybe we need digestive enzymes. Like there's all these things that come into play to make sure that you are absorbing the nutrients. But overall, you could have the best diet with the best supplements and all the amazing nutrients that you need to thrive, but your cell is also responding to how you think and how you feel. So for example, our bodies are hardwired to thrive. They are hardwired to survive. They are hardwired to be in a state of ease. Okay, they're not meant to be in a state of dis-ease. If they're in a state of dis-ease, then it equals disease. So we want ourselves to be in that high vibrational state as much as possible. We want to be in control of our emotions. Yes. Things happen. I get triggered by certain people as well. Stuff happens that can bring us into that negative state. And we have the choice. This is what free will is about. We have the choice. Do I want to give my power away to this? Or do I want to put my power where I need it the most, which is in my reproductive system? Because your body's hardwired to take energy from your reproductive system to give it to the other systems and organs if you don't have enough energy. And that could be because you don't get enough sleep or quality sleep, or because you've got too many other stresses in your life and you're trying to put out too many fires. So we've really got to focus on, where's my focus? Because if you were this elite athlete, you wouldn't be dealing with other people's dramas that come up in your life. Because, sorry guys, I've got a race to win. And everyone gives you that respect and gives you that freedom to, okay, yeah, I understand. I'm not going to put pressure on them to have a drink of alcohol because they're training. You know, they're this elite athlete. See how the mindset with people shift? And it's about you really owning, this is what I'm doing. And I expect results, because I know that if I do these things, my body will thrive. And a lot comes down to the mind and your emotions. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Really believe that what you're doing is going to work. Was someone going to say something?
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. No, that's a different way of thinking about it. I've always had that as a backup in my mind.
You don't need a backup. If what you're doing is going to work, why would you have a backup? And if you think I have a backup, then you're really telling yourself, okay, why don't I believe that this is going to work?
Yep. Yep. Thanks.
No, it's good. It's good. Good, good. All right. So recovering from failed IVF and what the next steps should be to succeed next time around. So when you have a failure, your subconscious mind remembers. Your subconscious mind remembers everything. But the more emotion that is applied to an event, the more it's etched in our memory recall. So when you have been trying naturally, for example, and month after month it doesn't work, and then you might start delving into assisted fertility, IUI, or straight into IVF, whatever it may be, and then even that doesn't work, your subconscious mind remembers. So all of a sudden, your fertility journey becomes one of heartache and disappointment. It becomes one of lack, and sometimes for some people, even death, like if you have had a miscarriage. And it's incredibly heartbreaking. So your subconscious mind, which remembers everything, is always trying to protect you, remember. Your brain is hardwired for pleasure and not pain. So when you tell yourself consciously, well, I'm going to give it another go, your subconscious, which remember is like the whole ocean, far more so the whole beach, the ocean, the shore, everything, far more powerful than your conscious mind, which is equivalent to that grain of sand, it's going to have more sway, because that's going, oh, I don't want to go down this route. It doesn't lead to any levels of success or joy, or, you know, there's no pleasure. It's only pain. So let's not go there. So there's all this resistance subconsciously. So for you to have failed IVF and you're doing another round, you've really got to prime the mind. You must work on that subconscious level. You must, which is why Fertility Mind Mastery is key. And there are different ways that you can rewire the brain. And that's why I love Qigong. It's a really easy way where you are controlling your body by controlling your mind. That's why you put yourself in these poses, for lack of a better word, and you're telling yourself, I am the master of my mind. I am the master of my body. I am, you know, allowing the conscious to override the subconscious. And you do it through these physical techniques, because some people, you know, it's something more tangible than just a thought or a feeling. So when we bring the physicality into it, it can be more easy to anchor. And it's all about anchoring, creating new anchors in the subconscious. We also want to work on the conscious level. So you wouldn't do the same thing. So say you've gone for a round of IVF, it didn't work. Without changing anything, you do it again and you expect it's going to be a different result. Why would it be a different result? So your conscious mind isn't 100% convinced, and your subconscious mind is definitely not convinced, because it's like, well, nothing's changed. So we know that the same thing's going to happen again, because that's what it is expecting to happen. And that's how the subconscious mind is hardwired. It's happened before. It'll therefore happen again. Your subconscious mind cannot project into the future. Your conscious mind does that. So that's why when you do another round of IVF, it feels like 50-50. Is it going to work? Is it not going to work? I don't know. And the reason why you don't know is because you've got this thing going on in your mind. And if you go to run this marathon that I keep creating the analogy for, and you think, oh, I don't know if I'm going to win. Do you think you're going to win? No. You're not going to win because you don't know if you're going to win. You've got to know. You've got to take your power back. You've got to be empowered. And this is honestly what your baby's spirit is waiting for as well. They want to be confident. They will be 50% you. If you have confidence issues, then they're going to have confidence issues. And they don't want to have confidence issues. They are here to do big things. They're not here to take on any of the crap that you as the mum needed to have transmuted. And, you know, on that note, I have so many clients that they gear themselves up, for example, for a successful round of IVF. And then if it doesn't work, they go, but I just don't understand. I thought I was really there. And then a few months down the track, when we do a little bit more work together, they go, oh yeah, I thought I was there, but I genuinely wasn't there. When I say there, I'm talking about emotionally and mentally. They're a different person. So sometimes it feels cruel, but it's not meant to be cruel. It's just baby saying, you know, I'm here, but I'm not ready yet because you're not ready yet. And that's why you have that strong yearning to have your children, because they're hovering around you and you just need to create that match, that right energetic match that allows baby to come through. So it's important that you change things. You have a different protocol, not just the IVF protocol that changes, but you need to make sure that your cells are healthier. And we know how to make those cells thrive, because I just mentioned that a minute ago. So it's important that you give yourself that time as well to recover from grief, which is actually only 90 seconds. Sit with your emotion, be okay with it, and I promise you it dissolves after 90 seconds. And this is actually scientifically proven, so you can look into this. Dr. Joe Dispenza talks a lot about this. You can look into his work. He healed his back after an accident. He was severely injured, told he'd never walk again. And he used his mind and reshaped his body, and he's perfectly healthy. So this is the thing. If other people grasp it, it's now time for you to grasp it. Step into your power. Take your powers back. Step into your confidence. Expect success, and you will receive success. Do not allow rogue thoughts, false thoughts, to come into play and allow your subconscious mind to control you, to say, but it didn't happen before, so it's probably not going to happen this time. You must override that, but you can't fake it. You need to override it generally by going, well, I've been meditating a lot more. I've been controlling my mind. I've been controlling my emotions. I've been eating better. I've been taking my supplements. I've been sleeping better. My relationship with my man is better. Everything is in thrive mode. So 100% it's going to work. Do you have any recommendations for Qigong guidelines, websites, or YouTube links? Yes. Go to youtube.com, go to Awakening Fertility, and have a look at the Qigong in there. When you open that up, there's a whole bunch of videos, over 100 videos, and you just type in Qigong, which I actually spell a different way. There's obviously many ways to spell it. I spell it Qigong. It's pronounced the same, Qigong. Yes, that's the starting point. The other URL, which I will give you guys later, is from my Vimeo.
On that note, Fiona, I actually bought both of them. Good. I bought the Qigong for fertility, and I bought the yoga one because I wanted to do them separate. Mm-hmm. I know you've got one combined, but I thought, let me learn them separately.
Sure.
Now, one is 37 minutes and one is 1 hour. So is it possible? What's the approach? Should I do Qigong one day, then alternate to do the yoga the next day? What is the best? I know you've got the Qigong combined, but I usually do Aisha yoga. I don't know if you've heard of that. Said Guru. He's very quiet, you know, anyway. So, but I noticed, and he does one for fertility, but I wanted to do your one because you're my coach. So, I wanted what's my thought process? And I'm all over the
place. How long and which
order? Because I know you're supposed to get used to one, but I wanted to, and yours is specifically for fertility. So there's two questions. Can I still continue them when I get pregnant, or do you have to stop? So there's a few questions I had around that.
Okay. When you're pregnant, there are certain exercises that you shouldn't do. So you wouldn't do any prone exercises. Prone means on your abdomen. So when you're lying down doing an exercise, never do that. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't do back arches, back bends. Mm-hmm. You don't do twists and you don't do sit-ups.
But you will do a video eventually then for women who are pregnant.
I've already got a video for women who are pregnant, yes.
Oh, yes, I didn't realise. Anyway, so that's good. So what I'll do, so I can do this up until the time I find out I get pregnant. Because I'm not pregnant yet, but I'm going to get pregnant. So I'm
exactly.
Yeah, but, so...
And say, for example, you fall pregnant naturally.
Yeah.
And you're unaware that you're pregnant and you're carrying on doing all these exercises. Don't worry. Like, okay, it happened to so many clients of mine, even clients that were having twins. So obviously there's like double the baby. And the thing is, your baby's so minuscule that those exercises aren't going to do anything. And I don't encourage you to do sit-ups anyway. So the twists and all that other stuff, it's not going to be affecting your back or baby.
Okay, perfect. So,
carry on, especially even during the 2 week wait, guys, always carry on doing what you normally do. So you still carry on with the same supplements, all that kind of stuff. And then when you are given the positive pregnancy test, that's when you change things.
Yeah. So do I do one day, one the other day?
If you want to, but you're going to feel the different energy because you're working with the yang energy of Qigong and the yin energy of yoga, you will feel it has a different effect on you. So yoga is more yin, it's more grounding, and the Qigong is very uplifting and energizing.
Okay,
so you might even want to just do a couple of Qigong ones and then flip over to your yoga. See, the thing with Qigong is it frees the body up, making your yoga easier. If you are feeling down, slightly depressed, don't do yoga.
Okay,
do the Qigong, because you've already got too much yin going on, that damp energy. So we want to have the uplifting energy. You know, the benefits of yoga over Qigong is that you're really stretching muscles and you're bringing the extra blood flow to the reproductive system through the energy vortexes as well. Qigong is doing the whole body, but yoga, the yoga that I've got is specific to your chakras and the reproductive system.
Yeah.
So play with it. You know, there's no right or wrong. It's how you feel. Okay. And I've even segmented the yoga into the different chakras. So say
it was amazing. It's amazing.
You know, you can always, you know, fast forward those bits and just say you're struggling with meditation.
Mm-hmm.
You'd work on the base chakra for grounding. And then you could skip to say the heart and throat and third eye and crown.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're really lacking confidence, you just had a bit of a wobble, just move to the solar plexus.
Right, I understand. So work on that. That is amazing.
Yeah.
I wanted to say to you, Fiona, before I continue, I want to thank you. I think you're absolutely amazing.
Oh,
when I first started this program, I had no clue. I couldn't even fill out the sheet to find out what to do in my optimized health, and I you've just made such of a difference, and I'm so grateful to God, so thank you.
thank you very much.
Covering gut health at some point? I think I'd like to talk about it today, but I'll flow with you.
Why don't you watch the gut health video on Awakening Fertility's YouTube channel? Mm-hmm. It's actually a I think an hour seminar where I've gone into the depths of gut health tied in with vaginal health.
Mm-hmm.
It's that topic. Check that out. And then if you've got any more questions, we can run through that, you know, tomorrow or whenever. But definitely gut health is a big thing. And there's not much science backing gut health with fertility issues, because I have tried. I've even had external people try and do the research for me, and I couldn't get many articles. But every single client that is new to me that has fertility issues have always had gut issues. So I thought, you know what? There's no such thing as a coincidence. It must be impacting on some level.
Yeah.
And like I was saying, we digest our emotions in our gut. So it does impact our gut health. Every time we have non-organic food, the herbicides, fungicides, pesticides that our great grandparents never got exposed to. It's not natural, and it's destroying our good bacteria. The amount of stress that we go through.
Yeah.
You know, like this constant stress means less hydrochloric acid. So we're not dissolving the food properly, and we're often eating in a hurry. So not chewing properly.
So can I ask you a question? Because I did start listening to it. I need to finish watching it, and I'll watch it again. Mm-hmm. How do I increase my hydrochloric acid? The reason why I say that, because it's interesting, you've just said two things. And I think if a woman has a miscarriage anyway, she's going to go through grief. As I said to you, I think a couple of weeks ago, I lost my dad, my niece and my unborn nephew in 10 days. And I'm feeling all the emotions. So my gut health is playing up.
Yeah.
So there's that. But I was blaming it at first. Well, not blame, that's a bit of a strong word. I've been taking MSM. It's very pure. It's the purest one. My friend was telling me about it as well. Yeah, and I think I might have overdosed myself because I'm trying to get rid of the fibroids. I might have gone a little bit too fast. Mm-hmm. But then I thought, is it really? But now I'm thinking it could just be that I'm grieving, the body's grieving. So my stomach is tender as hell. I'm taking like the spirulina and stuff, and I just decided to stop it because I thought I might not even be absorbing anything right now with my stomach being so tender. So I've just ordered some probiotics.
Good.
To help balance it out, because I'm a bit concerned because my energy's gone low. I was all right last week, but for some reason my stomach is, so you mentioned something about slippery elm. So I just wanted to know, what would you recommend for somebody whose stomach is so tender? I'm feeling like it's got pins and needles going in it. So I've obviously done something to my little stomach and I want to give it some love.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good question. All right. Is it your stomach, which is actually half underneath the left rib, or is it your intestines, which is more around the navel?
It's where my heart is. That's where it was tender. And it felt like my heart was, at night, I thought I was going to have a heart attack.
Oh.
Because it was so tight and I was losing breath. But then I just looked today and it said that when you're going through intense grief, sometimes you can get heartbreak syndrome. I can't believe it. So now I'm thinking it could be a bit of grief, but I think people would go through that if they have a miscarriage anywhere, they lose a baby. So I hope nobody doesn't, but I'm just saying I'm going through something emotional, and I wasn't sure if it was the medicine, the tablet, the supplements, because I went to Viridian or whatever. I just got a multivitamin, so I didn't know if it. So I don't want to blame it on the medicine, on the supplements, because I was thinking I've got all these supplements.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm just a bit confused about it all. Just know my stomach is not feeling healthy. My stomach's feeling poorly.
Okay, there's lots of things we can do here. Just want to double check. You said your heart, but a bit lower. So do you mean your
right there.
Right there.
It's here. Yeah, right. Yeah.
So not your stomach.
Yeah, my stomach. That right there. My stomach. Yeah, right there. That's it.
More to the left.
Yeah, it's the whole of it, to be quite honest.
Oh, that whole area.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. What I would recommend, listen to your intuition.
Yeah.
It's definitely grief that's going on. And like you say, that heart is energetically, it's the heart band that we're talking about, which is literally from our breasts to our shoulders. That's the whole heart band area.
Okay.
Front of the body, back of the body. So I'd still say it's working in with your heart. Like you say, it feels like a broken heart. To heal the heart, you can work with color therapy, you know, green, like a rose, so green at the base, pink at the top. You can work more on breathing exercises, breathing in new love, positivity, new potentials, breathing out the grief. And like, imagine that air, that breath is helping the extra moisture, the grief that's held in the body, to evaporate, because it does. On a windy day, it will evaporate. So you visualize that. And you're bringing in more warmth. So you want to boost up your solar plexus, which is just below that. And that's with the breathing exercises. You'll feel the warmth. And it's also helping to evaporate the excess grief.
Yes.
That's the energetic side of things. I would also not rule out the supplements, because you are highly intuitive. So listen to your body. Grab each supplement, as good as they may seem. Hold it. Like, I'm just using my favorite. Hold it to your heart band, close the eyes, standing up straight, feet parallel, and you just ask, is this good for my health now, for example, because that's what you're focusing, or even like to the point, my fertility, or is this good for my stomach now, because you're feeling it there.
Oh, I'm going to say that. Is it good for my stomach now? Because I did the energy test and they all said they wanted me.
Okay. So now but you're asking. Say,
is it good for my stomach now?
Yeah.
That's the big question. Thank you for that.
Yeah. And if it says no, no matter how good it seems on the label,
yeah.
Put it to one side. Then I would get a post-it note.
Yeah.
Let's just say hypothetically, it's the MSM. Okay. Yeah. You then write MSM.
Yeah.
On the label.
Yeah.
And say, is this upsetting my stomach? And what you're indicating is having the intention that you'll buy a different brand of MSM if need be.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
And then if your body's saying, yeah, you know, we need the MSM, but not this brand, so to speak. So listen to your body. Your body knows best.
Okay.
Or it could be, is the dosage too high? So you don't say, is the dosage too high and just wait on like hearing yes. You then go, is 1 teaspoon helping my stomach?
Yeah, I should have done that actually. You know, like, I went for the jugular. I think that's the word. I went straight for the high dosage because these fibroids have to go.
They do have to go and they will go, but you've got to do it in a way that doesn't harm you.
Exactly. No, thank you for that. Sorry if I took so much time, everyone.
I think that's good. I've just got a message. I body test all supplements every day now, and now I'm taking much fewer supplements as I often get a no. And that's the thing. But, you know, I also know you, and you have been taking good care of your health for a very long period of time. So it would make sense that you don't need to have as much. You know, when you and I first got together, we were getting you off horrible medication, you know, thyroid medication and bringing your body back into balance. So that's the thing that I think people need to be aware of, that your body will heal naturally. And as soon as you start to heal, you won't need as much as you have initially. Because in the beginning, it can seem so overwhelming. Oh my goodness, I need all these things. And it's like, yeah, you've got 20 years of buildup that needs to be cleared and regenerated.
Yeah. I've been quite surprised how many no's I get, and it just means I'm taking 3 supplements rather than, but I'm just going with it.
Yeah, which is
even
great.
If it looks good on the tin, I'm just trusting that my body knows.
You've got to, because the mind's going, oh, but don't we need that? And it's like, actually, if your body's saying no, because you're getting it obviously from other sources.
And it's different every day.
Which you know is there for the truth. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm just going with that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. And honestly, when you guys do it every day, it's super quick. Like, you literally just have to pick something up and you're just moving straight away. Like, it doesn't take
seconds.
In the beginning. It does. It takes
really,
seconds.
Really quick. Yeah.
And you're a very,
it
very...
It feels quite empowering in a way, just to be like, well, my body's deciding what I need rather than just reading the label and going, oh, I should take that.
Yeah.
It feels quite nice.
Yeah.
Because I think over-supplementing is not great either, is it?
No, because it's poison. You know, too much of something, like, especially if it's a herb, you know, it becomes a poison. Food, again, if we eat too much of it, you're just causing more weight on the digestive system. And we don't want too much energy going to the digestive system. We want it staying in the fertility realm, the reproductive system. So yeah, it all balances out in the end. But the thing is, like you guys are doing, you're listening to your body and you're asking the right questions and you're responding as your body needs. Do be aware though, that when you are dealing with the MSM, there will be severe detox symptoms if you're having high dosages. So it's just what it is. But they shouldn't last more than 20 minutes because it's transient. It's moving through the digestive tract. Mm-hmm. And if it's continuing beyond those 20 minutes, then I'd cut back a little bit. It'll also be reflected in your poo. So if you're having the right amount of MSM for you,
yeah,
it will be like a soft serve ice cream, like a Mr. Whippy ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not, then you've got more room to play with, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Very welcome. So I'm sorry, ladies, that we're trying to get in earlier. I was reading my schedule and I didn't see you trying to get in. So I don't know how many minutes you're waiting for, but I was talking about, and I just want to recap briefly. Someone had asked, what do I do if I'm choosing to adopt as an alternative, but still want to try? And it's like, okay, you must focus on expecting success in whatever realm you're in. So whether that be natural or this upcoming round of IVF, if you want it to work, you expect it to work, you can make it work. And I've had a couple of clients, and one of them, actually I'm wanting to interview her today to share her story. She was only ever going to be able to afford one round of IVF. She didn't even want to do IVF. I had to help her to get over the fears and all the resistance around IVF. And now she's pregnant and she's over the moon. And thing is, she goes, you know, you helped me make it work first time. And it's like, of course, because it doesn't have to be multiple times. So if you're going for an upcoming procedure, and I know some of you in this group are, focus on expecting success and then you will achieve success. You cannot allow any rogue thoughts to steer you off. Does that make sense? Does anyone have any questions or wanting some clarification around that?
Fiona, can I
say
something? Last week I went to the OBGYN and basically the OBGYN say that he found out that my size of follicle is small. So he says the standard is supposed to be around 1.8 centimeter, but mine is only like 1.2. So my husband was asking, is it because of my age, because I'm 40? And he said could be, that's one of the reasons. So I'm thinking about I've been reading several articles how to make the size of the follicle bigger, but I just want to ask you, do you have any input for me, or how am I supposed to deal with this? Because I keep thinking about it. Oh, okay, the size of follicle is small. My size of follicle is small. That's the reason I cannot get pregnant. So,
Okay. So information is powerful. And we don't want to give our power away to certain things. So the fact that you're saying, you know, doctors are saying I have small follicles, this is the reason why I can't get pregnant. Okay. There is an element of truth to that, but everything is changeable and miracles happen. You must also be open to that. Secondly, the message I'm getting for you, it's about regeneration. We need your body to regenerate more effectively on a cellular level. So I'm seeing extra blood flow needs to be in your reproductive system. So you should be doing exercises, physical exercises, breathing techniques that are fueling the life force energy in that area. You know, doing the detoxification regeneration techniques, which is with the MSM, which is with the castor oil packs. Not just rubbing the castor oil on for you, you have to do the packs because you're wanting to really get the extra blood flow, which is what the castor oil will do, bring the, you know, with the hot water bottle, will bring the extra heat there for regeneration. And anyone that has suffered miscarriages is also, this is going to be the same for you. We need to help regenerate the area because there is emotional trauma if you've had miscarriages there, but also now for you, that the doctors have said it, you've got emotional trauma and you're visualizing it and you're feeling it and it's just anchoring it even more. They're wanting to grow. They just need a little bit more support to grow. So what do we, if it was a plant, what would you do? You give it more nutrients, more care, take a little bit more care to make sure it's sheltered and loved. So, you know, don't wear anything that shows your midriff, because it's too cold, it's too cooling. You know, come off the cooling superfoods like spirulina. It's good for you, but it is too cooling for fertility unless it's boiling, boiling hot, unless it's summer, you know. So start adjusting things, making sure that if you've got cold extremities, cold fingers, cold toes, it's a sign of circulation. So wear slippers, even if it's warm and it's making your feet roast, do it. Do qigong that gets the energy to your hands. You must improve your circulation. You must send more love to that area. And even when you go to bed at night, when you first wake up in the morning, place your hands over your follicles and send them love and go, you're growing and I love you and this is such an exciting time. And you're shifting your mindset. You're not a victim to what the doctors have said. You're using it as powerful information. Great. Thank you. I need to regenerate this area. I need to give it more love. Any kind of dis-ease, anything that's not in the state of ease in the body is screaming out for more love and your attention. So even going back to when you have a sore stomach, it's about fueling the energy and love to the stomach. So put your hands on the area that hurts. Send it love. We send it love by opening our heart and allowing the energy to flow down through your healing hands, because you can heal your body. You can heal anybody's body who's open to it, but you're designed to heal your own. So use this as powerful information, but it's not set in concrete. Nothing is set in concrete. We are designed to keep changing and evolving. Our whole body is evolving. Nothing stands still in our body. So we know, great, it's now time to take action. And I am visualizing that these are changing, because when you see it in your mind has a map of your body, and you see that they're growing. Mm. They'll be fine. And even if they don't grow, you can still have your happy, healthy baby. You know, I spoke to a new client of mine today, and she said, you know what, Fiona? I was told by doctors, I've got PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome, so I'm going to struggle getting pregnant. Secondly, I was told I'm lactating and I'm not even pregnant, so I don't know what's going on. I was then told, because I was getting tests and told I was lactating, that I should check if I'm ovulating. She's like, well, I'm not ovulating. Next thing she knows, she's pregnant. She's like, how has this happened? And it's like, okay, because you're not giving your belief system to all this other stuff. Her inner belief was, well, I'm 38 and I'm going to be pregnant and I'm having fun with my life. And that was her goal. And so despite all those things working against it, medical facts working against her, she's now pregnant.
Fiona, can I share my...
Yes, please.
Fiona, can I share? So 5 years ago when I was 34, I had some tests to see how everything was. And I had, my AMH was 0.7 and my follicle level, I had 2 follicles in one ovary and 3 in the other. The doctors gave me a 25% chance of ever having a baby, even with IVF. And then I had 2 failed IVFs, and I started working with Fiona. 3 months later, I was pregnant with my first daughter. And then when she was 7 months old, I fell pregnant with my second daughter, and I've got 2 babies naturally. So the doctors don't know everything.
And the body really changes. Don't. But, you know, on top of that, you were working incredibly long hours, you know, stressful job, high, you know, very high achiever, successful businesswoman. You had emotional stuff going on. It wasn't like life was easy.
No, it wasn't. But the doctors, they always deliver the news to you like it's nothing, and they've just crushed you and devastated you and they just tell you like it's not a big deal, and you just walk away thinking that's it, I can't have children, and it's awful and it's lonely, it's horrible. It was one of the worst times of my life, and I've now got 3 and 4 year old daughters.
Perfectly healthy, perfectly happy, super happy girls. This is the thing. Where are you putting your beliefs? Where is your energy going? Who are you giving your energy to? And I just want to recap on that. When little dramas pop up, you must remain focused on what is your goal. Do not give your energy and focus to other things. The amount of women that, you know, have come to me and take the longest to succeed is because they keep making up excuses, going, oh, but this drama's happened, or my husband needs me for this, or such and such needs me for that. It's like, yeah. And what about you? Fill your cup up first with energy, and then with the overflow, you help others. Don't give everything, because you're giving energy that you need for your happiness, for your fertility. So it's not about being selfish. It's about being focused. Where's your focus? Because this is your fertility time now. 10 years down the track, you can focus again on your career. You can focus again on whatever you want to do. But right now, this is for you, and own it. Have the confidence to step up and be like, yep, this is my time. I'm going to make it work.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for sharing as well. That was a beautiful thing to add. So thank you.
Fiona, could I just ask about miscarriage?
Yes, please.
Well, as you know, I had a miscarriage. That's why I'm back here again. I had a miscarriage, twins, in March. I suppose it's just, it feels like it's a real circle of grief kind of thing. Like I'm doing really well, and then you kind of come back round. If that makes sense. Like I am doing really well, and I'm going through a bit of a wobble at the moment, but it is almost like a whirlpool, and you come out of it and then you go back. So I suppose it's just the emotional support of that, I suppose, just asking.
You know, your twins came for a reason, okay? And they're either going to come back, or they're going to help bring this next baby through, because they never wanted to have that physical existence.
Yeah. I commune with, this week I've been communing really strongly, and I can feel the baby spirit like ready to come down. I can feel it so strongly, and I keep saying, what do I need to do? And they're just like, I'm like, nothing. I'm here. I'm ready. Like, there's no strong messages of anything I need to do for them to come down. It's literally like, I'm coming, I'm ready. That's all I'm hearing.
So when the emotional stuff comes up where you're grieving, sit with it. It only takes 90 seconds to sit with it and go, it's okay to feel sad, but I don't need to feel sad because they're coming. And
yeah,
and they are choosing the most optimal time for them to come. Okay, so for whatever reason, maybe it wasn't the most optimal time. Maybe genetically something wasn't working out and you didn't want them to have that genetic default, and neither did they. So they're like, okay, we're pulling back, but we're coming back, or definitely one is coming back, whatever it may be. Yeah. So just allow that to have happened and just be excited. So first we feel the grief. Yes, I feel sad because I missed that opportunity of having to bring these beautiful twins into physical reality. However, they're happy, they're coming back, or at least one of them is coming back, and that's how it was meant to be. And I trust this is for my highest good. And the universe doesn't give me anything that I can't handle. You know all this stuff.
No, I know. I met my nephew yesterday. My brother had his baby. You know, my brother's baby was due 6 weeks before my twins, and that was a bit hard. But when I was holding him, I just felt like my baby's going to be the youngest of the cousins.
And that's great. He's going to be the baby. He's going to be the spoiled one. He's going to be the one that's looked after. And, you know, it's gorgeous like that.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
And it's baby's free will. Maybe that's what they wanted. And again, you know, we have the same soul families. You know, we are so close to our, for most people, people in our lives. And then we just keep living different lives with these souls in our life. And maybe these twins, there's this possibility that they were a certain family member, brother, sister, I don't know, in your life before, that just wanted to reconnect with you briefly. They never wanted to incarnate. They just wanted to connect. And you said, yeah, I don't have a problem. You can come and connect. And maybe you're just missing their physicality, but it's not about necessarily the full grief of the miscarriage, if that makes sense, because it's nothing you've done wrong. You've got to not blame you.
I know that. And actually I can kind of still feel their souls, and yeah, I know it's not my fault. I went through that, but I know.
Yeah.
And I know. And baby's coming, because I can feel it. I definitely know that.
Beautiful. And maybe they're just here to help bring that one through, you know?
Yeah. I've learned a lot from them. Like, compared to where I was 6 months ago, I feel like I've really developed as a person from losing them.
Yeah. And you haven't lost them. It's just a physical sense of loss, because we're in multiple realms, and we're always entering different dimensions, as you know, when you meditate and when you dream. So it's just in a different realm. It's like a different veil. They're there, but you just need to lift the veil to see them.
I've made it clear I'm not interested in any more babies that just want to hang out in my womb for a bit.
Good. And you need to, because maybe you had all those things. Yeah. Yeah. Because you've got free will too. You're welcome. Thank you. You're very, very welcome. So I'm just responding. Faye had asked, so you'd ask, what do you have in the winter months instead of spirulina? And if you go to the Powerfully Pure shop and choose marine phytoplankton, that is from the cleanest, one of the cleanest water sources on the planet. It's from an ancient well. So there's no toxins in that water, no heavy metals, and it grows organic marine phytoplankton that I have for the Powerful Pure shop. So I recommend getting that. They're in capsules. They're easy to take. You can get marine phytoplankton in a liquid, which tastes very salty. It tastes like salt water. It's quite difficult to tolerate. But this has been stabilized and manufactured in such a way that it's incredibly powerful. So you'd have anywhere between 4 to 7 capsules. 7 if you're really hanging out for like a coffee hit because you're really tired. 4 for general maintenance. And it has a lot of essential amino acids. It's got your oils, your EPAs, your DHAs. It's got so many things. And it's important that you get that level of nutrition in the body. It's what gives fish all their healthy properties. Yeah, what were you going to say?
Thank you. No, that's great. I didn't realise it was a capsule. What I've been doing, I've been adding some like super green sort of powder to my smoothie. I just wondered if I wanted, as well as the what you're suggesting, to also have a powder to put in, say, a smoothie every so often. Is there another one of those type of green powders like...
Yes.
Chlorella or...
Yes. Okay, they're very different. I'll send you guys an article which I've written that explains the difference between chlorella, which is a single-celled nutrient, versus marine phytoplankton. They have their different uses. Okay. Chlorella I specifically use when I'm exposed to radiation, like flying.
Oh, right.
Sitting by the window. That helps to draw the radiation out of the body. Marine phytoplankton is for instant energy. Instant energy. So it doesn't even require digestion. It goes straight through the blood-brain barrier and delivers massive amounts of energy. Yes, it helps with radiation too, but chlorella's main role is to clear up that the nasty effects of radiation on the body.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll send you guys that article.
Thank you. That's great.
And yeah. I just wanted to say about the marine, I don't say the other word, marine tablet. I started taking them, I think, maybe 2 weeks, a while ago now. And I noticed my period pains they had pretty much gone, not maybe a little twinge, but nothing on a scale. So they are really good. I can highly recommend them. They really helped me. Yeah, they have a lot. Well, with the period pains, yeah, they've been amazing.
Because we're not meant to have period pains, you know? No. And that this is an example where the body will take from the reproductive system whatever energy it needs for the other organs. So when we're fueling the body with the right amount of energy, it's not going to hinder our periods, which is where we see most reflective our level of fertility.
Yeah.
And fertility is all about balance. Just come back into alignment, come back into balance, physically, mentally, emotionally. Have the confidence and have the belief, have that inner knowing and expect success and you will succeed. And you can do it with minor things that don't mean so much, but you apply the same kind of technique, like could be manifesting a parking lot or something, you know, just something basic where you really just are putting this into practice. And you're like, yeah, I can see, I can do it. It's building up your confidence. And this is boosting your serotonin levels. And that's important to feel good on this journey. So do little things that lift you up. So you can see, oh yeah, I am powerful. Like we had this discussion a couple of weeks ago with Loza and you were saying, yeah, I started to manifest. I needed a new car. And then I manifested a red car and I was seeing all these red cars. Like you can do work on that level. Have fun with it. You are incredibly powerful and your thoughts are manifesting all the time. So to start monitoring your thoughts, which is why I love people practicing Qigong, because it helps you to physically master your mind and master the body. And so do the fertility, my mastery techniques. Really, really important, guys. Really important. Do you have any questions on how to recover from failed IVF and then what the next step should be next time round? I was talking about that, but have I made it clear enough before we move on to the next bit?
Did I may have missed, was that at the beginning? So I might have missed.
You might have been stuck. That.
Maybe just if you can just maybe go over a little bit. I mean, I'm not actually at the moment even thinking of IVF, so I don't want to go into a plan B. It's going to happen naturally, but maybe if you can just cover that, because I failed 3 times, and but that's because IVF really probably wasn't for me. So. If you can just recap, that would be great.
Any failure creates trauma and the brain doesn't like pain. So it doesn't want you to go through that trauma and pain again. So it will try to protect you. And it also, the subconscious mind, which we know creates your reality in the third dimension, it remembers everything. And so if you're not changing anything and you're doing another round of IVF, and consciously, you'll know that you haven't done much to improve the situation. And subconsciously, the body's like, and the brain's like, well, it's not going to happen. Therefore, it wouldn't happen. So you must change a number of things so that you can expect genuine results. So you change your supplements, make sure that you're getting food grade, real, natural, organic, wild supplements that work, that are functional. We call it functional supplements or functional medication or function. It's just the word functional because they're delivering a new function for the body. You'd work on your mindset so that you genuinely 100%, not 50%, 100% know that this time round you're going to succeed. And how do you know? Because you're more confident and you've done some changes. Like you can look at your period, like it's flowing better, or you've got more energy, or you're able to improve your moods. Your moods are a reflection of your hormones. Or if you've had certain tests done and it says, hey, your AMH levels have improved, or your FSH levels have improved, or you don't have as much estrogen dominance anymore. Take that on as, oh my goodness, my body is now more ready to have this happy, healthy baby. And I'm more fertile now. You've got to get into that belief. I'm more fertile now. Therefore, I know I'm going to have a different result. I'm going to have a better result. So that's what I was wanting you to do in a nutshell. Just make sure that you're putting yourselves into thrive mode and you are working with your mind on both levels, conscious and subconscious, that this will work. And I'm expecting it to work. And I know it will work because I've got a different mindset. I've got a different emotional outlook. I've got different physical body because I've been doing things differently. And that just brings us on to endometriosis. Now, not everyone has endometriosis. It may not be applicable to anyone or many people here, but you might have a friend and this could help them. Endometriosis, incredibly painful. It's where your lining, your uterus lining, your womb lining, which sheds every month, is moving to different areas of the body. And it tries to shed, which is painful, but it's got nowhere to go. So it just keeps building up and it's not very nice. Now, what happens is people with endometriosis are the most sensitive of all the people I've come across. And you cannot afford emotional toxicity, mental toxicity, or physical toxicity. Your womb is a self-cleaning organ. Everyone's womb is a self-cleaning organ. Like I literally imagine a small version of me with a broom just sweeping, sweeping, sweeping out, keeping it all clean. And so what does it do? It puts everything that's dirty into the bloodstream. And we therefore need to keep the blood extra clean and pure. So to keep that blood clean and pure, we want to have a good digestive system. Otherwise, when you have leaky gut, where the food can stay in some of the ripply bits of the intestine and begins to penetrate out through the intestines, which is leaky gut, it goes straight into the blood, thickens the blood. When you're putting toxic stuff on your skin, what happens? The body tries to clear it. It thickens the blood initially, and then it tries to deposit it into fat to conserve it, to contain it. But if you can just eradicate the toxic exposure through the skin or what you're inhaling, like with perfumes, you can have high grade essential oils, but not perfumes because they're toxic. Fragrances are toxic. So you want to be looking at all that kind of stuff and making sure you're keeping it to a bare minimum, if at all. Try to avoid it at all costs. You know, so you wouldn't need fabric softeners and things like that. If you want to soften your clothes, invest in an evaporative dryer. You know, they soften your clothes without having to use the toxic chemicals, and even animals, they use animals as well in fabric softeners. So you want to just keep yourself super clean. And there's, you know, the endometriosis diets are ones that don't have the foods with preservatives in. They don't have lots of food that's from a factory. It's mainly farm fresh. That's what you've got to have. And you've got to have organic. You cannot afford to not have organic. And you must keep up with your probiotics like everyone else. It's like literally just the heightened level of the cleanest form of living. And then these endometriosis issues will subside, especially if you're taking it with the MSM to help dissolve the excess tissue. That's what MSM does. It gets rid of inflammation. It does a lot of things. It's not just regenerating your egg health and womb health. So you want to be giving your body what it needs to thrive and know that you are extra sensitive. You really cannot afford to be living a normal standard American or standard British or standard Australian lifestyle, because your body's too sensitive for that. So you would have to, if you are wanting to go and have some processed food, you have to balance it out by knowing, okay, I've got to do extra detoxing. And I've also got to bring in more energy because I'm losing a lot of energy by bringing these toxins into my body. But also it's about emotional and mental toxicity that needs clearing, that you need stronger barriers and boundaries around certain things, and owning the fact that you are sensitive and that you can't tolerate certain things as easily as other people. And that's okay. Okay, you're going to have a super clean body, and then you're going to be having more energy, and you'll have a much easier life when you make these transitions. You just can't take the shortcuts that other people are taking and getting away with, because you're not as dense, you're more light. So you need to have the light force foods and be involved with more light-based activities, not things that weigh you down. I'm not going to go into all the ins and outs because there is a whole section in my online fertile lifestyle course on endometriosis. So I think that's just enough to give you a general understanding of why it's paramount that everything that I've been sharing so far really does need to come into play for you, because otherwise you're suffering and there's no need to suffer. Do we have any questions on that? No? Good. PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome, which is what I touched on briefly. Gosh, people with all kinds of symptoms are brushed with the same stroke of, sorry, the same diagnosis of you have PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome. Now, what that says is, in a nutshell, that you find it difficult to synthesize and metabolize sugars. It puts your hormones out. It creates extra testosterone in the body. So you'd have like extra facial hair and hair and the other parts of your body. Often acne, difficult to lose weight, all those kinds of things. Now, does anyone have PCOS here today? Or have you ever had cysts on your ovaries? Yeah. Okay. So I'll keep talking about it then. So, cysts on the ovaries, technically you still have PCOS. It may not be as extreme as those symptoms that I've mentioned, but I have helped so many women with PCOS to then have their children. It's not saying that you're infertile at all. It just says clear the cysts, balance the hormones, you'll get pregnant and hold your pregnancy like everyone else. I do want people with PCOS, though, to be extra mindful when they're pregnant to live by a diet which is going to help prevent gestational diabetes. So look up the gestational diabetes diet, which is, in a nutshell, you don't have sugars until after midday, which ideally I'm trying to get you guys all to be doing this anyway. So you wouldn't have your bananas or your processed foods, hopefully you're not having any anyway, you know, your processed carbs, until after midday. So the body can control the sugars and the sugar spikes better. So having cysts on the ovaries, again, MSM dissolves cysts on ovaries, the Powerfully Pure MSM, because it is so pure, it will dissolve within 30 days. So even if you're concerned that you might have cysts, you can always take it for 30 days just to dissolve it, because it's just affecting the efficiency of your reproductive system by having these cysts there. You know, cysts grow within us when there is a state of dis-ease, okay? It's like toxins that are building up in a certain area. So again, if you get a cyst, it's about working into your diet, like more vegetables that help to clear out stuff, clearing out thoughts and memories that don't serve you anymore. Just letting go, learning to let go. And I have interviewed a client of mine, which I'll be sharing with you guys shortly. And she said, the sooner I realized the whole trick to this having a baby realm is about learning to let go. And as soon as I learned to let go, that's when I fell pregnant. That's when I had such an easy pregnancy. And it took her 2 hours to give birth to her first child, which was a big boy. And she's quite petite. So let go. Now is a time to surrender, to release hurtful memories. Let them go. I mean, forgiveness issues. Not saying that you forgive that person for what they did. You're just saying, I'm not focusing on you anymore. I'm not giving you my energy anymore. Let go. This is your time. This is your temple. You want to have that beautiful environment. Your baby feels what you feel. Every cell feels what you feel and thinks what you're thinking. So let's just keep it pure. That's the main thing. Keep cleansing, keep hydrating, keep clearing out what doesn't serve you. You don't even have to think about what's not serving me. You don't have to focus on that. Focus on what makes you happy and joyful. And just every exhalation I do, I'm releasing what doesn't serve me. I'm working with my detoxification process, you know, like working with your body. And you don't even have to be conscious of what it is you don't want. Just focus on what you do want. So there are a number of cleansers that help with PCOS, you know, clearing toxins, which of course, like I was saying, really does start with the emotional and mental stuff. If, you know, it depends on the range of issues, but, you know, if you want to bring your hormones into balance, I did send you guys that newsletter on Friday last week on how to balance hormones. So there's lots of things that interrelate with, you know, diet and mindset and watching your moods. Your moods are telling you how your hormones are. So, you know, cleansers are the typical cleansers where you want them to have the castor oil kit, because that will help to detoxify the cysts. You want to be getting the MSM into you with the vitamin C, because that helps to clear out the excess tissue growth. And, you know, cysts are like pus. So there is that inflammation. So we want to be making sure that what's inflaming you, what's causing you excess heat and irritability and anger, you know what I mean? That's how you can work out how to heal things. Now, your ovaries, as well as your liver, do hold the emotion of anger, excess anger. So when our ovaries are polycystic, there's often anger that's residual in there that we're not even wanting to look at, but they're there, and we need to release it. We need to release the things that we find are irritating us in our life, which is really just a different perspective. So I'm choosing not to allow those things to irritate me anymore. I'm choosing to take my mind and my focus elsewhere. You must master the mind so you can master your body. Do you have any questions on that?
Yes, I was going to ask, does this apply to fibroids as well in terms of the emotions, and is it the same type of thing? Is fibroids a cyst? I'm not sure.
No, fibroids is the tissue. Excess tissue, which causes blockages. Mm-hmm. So it's more to do with a mental state of creating a block.
Okay.
Like because you're not worthy or whatever is underlying that.
Mm-hmm.
An unconscious block you might have picked up as a child, or, you know, I'm going to have issues having children, or I can't always get what I want easily. Whatever random thought. Like, you won't know until you start doing some mind mastery to reveal what is in your subconscious, and then we can clear it. So it's more about that, whereas cysts are related more to anger, holding that excess heat in the body in a disproportionate way. Because before I was saying fertility needs warmth, it doesn't want cold and dampness. And then if you've got, you know, a lack of circulation, so you're lacking the warmth, but then you've suffered with cysts, it's saying that you have warmth circulating in the body, but it's too much anger or irritability, stuff that's getting under your skin that you're not dealing with. Mm. And it could even be stuff that you've never actually had in your life, but it was the DNA from your grandparents or great grandparents that you were born into.
Mm.
That you need to clear, to create peace with.
You gave us a meditation on that with the ancestors. I could do that.
Mm-hmm. Everyone would benefit from that, for sure. Because we come into this life with codings from our ancestral line. And when you heal it for yourself, you heal it for the last four generations that have already passed in your ancestral line, and of course for your babies. And even if you have children already, the more you work on yourself, the less they have to work on themselves, because you've already started to transmute more in that bloodline.
I've got a couple of questions, Fiona. Yeah. I remember when I was having my IVF, I mentioned to the doctor about PCSO. Did I get that right? PCSO, yeah, and yeah. She said to me, because of my age, I wouldn't get that. I wouldn't get PCSO because of my age. She said I wouldn't get it. So
yeah, it does happen younger, but age is just a number.
They said lots of things to me that I don't believe anymore anyway, which is why I believe it's going to happen more now than I ever did then. That's from working with you. Thanks, Marguerite, for sharing your lovely story. I wanted to say as well, when I went to the last year, I had my last consultant with the NHS, and they literally wrote me off. They just said, there's nothing we can do to help you. And I walked out and I thought, well, I'm not listening to you. And I've worked with you since probably around February, March time. And I believe it more now than I have ever believed it. I mean, even at the age of 28, I'm now 45, by the way, and I believe it more than I ever have. Yeah. When I was 28, I remember friends saying to me, well, you need to get a move on because of your body clock. This was because I was not in a nice relationship and they were trying to help me leave him because they knew I wanted children, which is great. But I believe that was a massive blockage for me as well. Definitely. Which I have finally let go of now. But because I had that blockage from 28, I've already set up in my mind then, oh God, it's going to be so hard for me to have children and I didn't really meet my a nice partner until 38. So I just wanted to share that, but you can change your mindset, which I have done, and now I believe it more than ever, really, because I've done so much work. I still need to do a lot more energy work, like yoga and qigong, but I won't beat myself up over that.
No, don't.
Food wise, I have done amazing.
Good.
I do treat myself occasionally, I won't lie, but that raises my vibration.
Exactly, it makes you happy.
And I'm doing the other things, and I believe that it's much healthier, my reproduction system, than it's probably ever been. So that was that question, and I did have another one, but I forgot what it was. So if it comes back to me, I will jump in and ask it.
Great, because okay. I just want to say as well that there is scientific proof, and they even did it in mainstream British newspapers, that women who are having children later in life in their 40s have healthier eggs than women often in their 20s, because look at the lifestyle differences. You know,
my lifestyle is much different to what it was in my 20s. I was a party girl, and I'm no longer a party girl, but barely anything anymore. So my body has to be super much more healthier than it was. And exactly. I know it is. I literally know it is. My mind is better, my emotions are better, and my body is definitely, I'm looking after it a lot better than what I did. So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so as we know, your children are 50% you. So they're 50% of this improved version of you than you were at 28. So you weren't meant to be having children at that age. You're a different person. You're ready. You're right and ready for the picking.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, thank you. Thanks.
Sweetness and juiciness, like that's how you guys need to see yourselves, as this beautiful exotic fruit that is ready now. Like it's beautiful, and you're this, like, you know, like this plant, like look at it in the plant kingdom, how they easily just reproduce, and that's what you're doing. You're not blocking anything anymore. There's no more mindset blocks and emotional blocks. You're just letting it happen, and you're open to miracles. You know, we look at certain plants that are very injured and weathered, and they still go on and they reproduce. And that can be the same for you guys. So I'm not saying you're injured and weathered, but I'm saying don't get hung up on, oh, but I've been diagnosed with this and I've got this working against me and that working against me. Don't fuel the negative. You're projecting negatively into the future. It's not going to affect you. Okay.
I have a question about the sugars. Because sometimes when I am on a 12-hour shift, because I don't like to eat really early in the morning, and then we don't really get our break till 10:30, 11:00, I am prone to reaching for a banana, and you just said not until after 12, although it's not every day. So
no, that's fine, and that's fine. You know, I'm just saying that when you are in sugar burn mode, which is when you have that banana, it's going to trigger sugar burn. You won't be burning fat, and the fat stores toxins, remember? So we want to keep burning fat as long as we can. So you'd have the only sugars ideally for the morning would be berries, avocado, lemons, and olives. But, you know, if you're waking up early and you're saying you want to have a banana at, say, 10 or 11, it's not too bad. Don't ever beat yourselves up. And because sometimes it can just get so horribly difficult and it's like, oh, stuff it, I'll just have a Mars bar instead, you know. You don't want to go like that extreme. No. It's just, if you feel like it, have it. And it's not every day. And sometimes it's a treat day. Like I always recommend, follow the diet that is ideal for you 80% of the time. 80%, that's all. So you got one day, you can eat and drink whatever you want and really enjoy that day.
I had it yesterday. It was great.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. And there's no guilt with that. And there shouldn't ever be guilt because it's a fake emotion. Just enjoy it. And like you say, I eat it because it makes me feel good. It raises my vibration. And it does. So enjoy it.
How much lemon juice should you drink? Because I was drinking half a lemon and I'm thinking, my God, is this too much? Is it affecting my stomach?
No. Half a lemon's nothing. You should definitely even have more than one lemon a day. Definitely more than one. And you know, as well with your, keep talking about poo, but if you have constipation issues, you're lacking vitamin C. You need to increase your vitamin C levels. So, you know, lemons are great for that. If you find that, you know, lemons are acidic, but when we consume it, it becomes alkaline. They are the second most alkaline food on the planet. The most alkaline, although it's heavy in sugars, is watermelon. So, you know, if your stomach's hurting, things like aloe vera, fresh aloe vera juice is also good. So maybe get into some, you know, like you can scoop out the flesh of the plant and put it into a smoothie or, you know, put it into a juice.
I do the aloe vera plant. I've got some.
That's good. I'll get that into you because it's very, very soothing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, ladies, I'm going to love you and leave you and see you tomorrow to answer more of your questions. And we'll be discussing non-toxic skin and beauty care and anything else that comes up.